Hey, welcome back to the Mark Mosey Show, and joining me right now here on the phone line to talk all things Orlando Magic basketball in the NBA, he is one of the best in the business, seems Dante Marcatelli with Magic Radio and TV. Dante, how you doing today?
I think you meant Paul Kennedy when you said that. I'm pretty sure, but I appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much, Mark. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, and look, I'm going to just start with this. I went on TV Sunday night. I've said this on my radio show. If I'm Aaron Gordon, I go, you know what? Forget the dunk contest. I think he should channel that energy and play big-time basketball on the court for the second half. That, forget the dunk contest. Get it on the court. That's how I feel, Dante. What about you?
And you know what? I was never so worked up and so angry about something so meaningless. I mean, really.
Yeah.
When you think about it, you're exactly right. That outcome, as unfortunate as it was to all of us Magic fans, has no bearing on this season. But could it be something where he's motivated, angry, upset, channels it for good? You don't want to go too crazy where, you know, he's always got the ball in his hands and trying to do too much. But if he's able to channel that and it motivates him and it gives him enough of a push these final 27 games, I'm all for that. And you know what? Sometimes with these things, you know, it's the person that comes in second, although he should have come in first, but it's the person that doesn't necessarily win the crown that gets more notoriety, more publicity, and becomes kind of the people's champion out of the whole thing. And that kind of, to me, seems like what happened. But I think wherever he goes, he's going to feel the support among the NBA community. And I think there's an opportunity for him and his teammates to kind of channel that, feel like they all were kind of slighted a little bit, and really use that as a bit of more, as much as you can use it for motivation. Maybe something to give you a little bit of an edge these final 27 games.
Do you like also, real quick, that it was like a Miami Heat player won, and then Dwayne Wade was on the judging panel?
Don't get me started. My thing is this. You've got five straight 50s, and to me it should have ended right there. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing else the guy can do. He's got five straight 50s, and now you got to go to another. Now, listen, again, this is taking nothing away from Derrick Jones Jr. He was phenomenal. He had just as many phenomenal dunks. I don't think they were better, but they were right there. People are attacking him, and I don't think that's fair.
No.
But on the fly, he has to think about what am I going to do? Because I'm sure he put together four good dunks thinking that's it. After those four, it's over. Ball game. Well, it wasn't, and he had to keep going. And he just grabs a 7'6 guy off the sidelines and dunks over him. To me, ball game, game over. The energy in that building, it was electric. People couldn't believe it. And to me, that was enough to win it. So, yeah, it certainly was disappointing. But you know, because you feel for him, you know what, he wouldn't have done it if he didn't want to win it, you know, so you know it, you know, he was hoping to try and win it, but you brought Taco Fall into it. It was just a fantastic couple of minutes there, and then to actually do it on the first time was pretty incredible. So I thought it was a terrific contest, a great competition, and I thought the All-Star, I thought that was a great format that they ended up going with for the All-Star game itself on that Sunday, and I thought that would kind of have some nice drama in it as well.
Have you ever met Taco Fall in person?
I have. Yes. He's a fantastic individual. Oh, he's always a guy of that stature. Obviously, can't hide from anyone. So he's used to being approached and used to talking, taking pictures, all that. Even if no one knows he plays basketball, if you've never seen him before, you know he's 7'6", and you may want to get your picture with him just for that. So he just always, you know, with all of that he's got to deal with, being that size, it just always impressed me. It just always impressed me how nice of an individual he is.
See, I don't think people realize, like, you're saying that he dunked over Taco Fall. For our listeners, you have to meet Taco to realize how big he is. Like, you know, jumped over him. What?
I know it.
Oh, my God.
I know it.
It's incredible.
And again, everyone's getting caught up while he hit his head. Well, no, he hit his hands, and it moved his head forward. And then even if he did hit his head, he's 7'6".
I know.
It's unbelievable. That was just a special. But it was really one of the coolest moments to me in the slam dunk contest history. That whole couple of minutes We're on the fly. He brings them out. Never tried it before. Ah, what the heck? Let's give it a shot. See if we can do this.
Well,
so, but you're right. Taco is a huge individual, and really one of the one of the fan favorites in the entire NBA right now.
My favorite dunk, Dante, was not that, which is still amazing. The one where Markel, right. The one where Markel Fultz comes from the side and throws off the side of the backboard, and Aaron just grabs it nonchalant. Does a 360 dunk. That is insane. Like, what?
It was insane. It was insane. And then that's the thing. With the Taco Fall dunk, that was his sixth dunk. Like, you could say, okay, if that was his first dunk, maybe he didn't have the energy. He hit his head. I have no idea. If you want to use that excuse, maybe go there. That was dunk number six. The guy's already put on an unbelievable show, and then he caps it with that. But, yeah, I had Markel Fultz after the game against Detroit, right before the break, and he told us on the air that he was going to All-Star break. And I said, you got to talk to Aaron and see if he can use you. Now, obviously, he must have known that that was part of the plan, but we kind of had some fun with that. So I was watching to see if Markel might be a part of it. And, they were having fun about him having the jacket on and the hat and all that stuff. Take the jacket off so you can make the pass. But he did it. It was just that dunk was electric. Once Kenny Smith realized what he was trying to do, I mean, it was pretty impressive. It was pretty impressive.
You and me have done some really cool things in our career, but I feel like the thing that we're missing out on is I want to be at the Magic practice when Aaron Gordon's with his teammates trying to come up with these dunks. That's what I want to be around.
I know it. I was there when Dwight Howard was practicing a couple, probably 12, 13 years ago, the one where he put the sticker of himself on the backboard. And just even watching that, how that was all going to come about, put a sticker on the backboard at 13 feet and then dunk it, was pretty impressive. There's a lot that goes into it. You do kind of tire yourself out. But at the end of the day, it is a dunk contest.
Yes.
And it has something that has no bearing on the outcome of a season or anything like that. But, it's what NBA All-Star Weekend is all about. And I would argue that's the biggest event of the weekend. So it's people are drawn to it. They love it. It's a lot of fun for fans. It's an exhibition. But you're right. Those practices are something else, no doubt.
All right, going back to the team, I feel like last year at the end of February, and kind of, right around the Super Bowl last year, I watched every game, and they started to click, and they started to play as a team. I don't know if I've seen that yet. Maybe the last couple games before the All-Star break. Dante, you're around the team all the time. Are they starting to click now, or do we need to wait here for the second half Friday?
I think they still got to show us, Mark, to be honest with you. I think you're right. It was January 30th last year, so about 2 weeks ago, where they started 2.5 weeks ago last year, where they started to click, and that defense kind of all came together, and they went 22-9 down the stretch to close out the season. But that just hasn't happened yet. Now, I think this year is different because of the injuries, but I hate using injuries as an excuse. The fact of the matter is they have had two big ones with Jonathan Isaac and DJ Augustine. DJ started last year for 81 games. So I think those are two big losses for this team. But that being said, a lot of those games they should have been more competitive or certainly should have won even with the players that they have. So for some reason, something just seems a little off. Guys aren't shooting the percentages that they shot last year or some of them really even their career percentages. It's been the offense for the most of the year that, they're 27, 28, 29 in a lot of offensive categories. And a lot of it is just shot making. And Mark, you've covered it long enough to know when guys aren't making shots, they're not as motivated to defend on the other end. So I think we've seen some defensive slippage, which has kind of hurt this team. It was that second unit last year that came together and just brought it defensively, just smothering defense for the final 31 games, and the starting unit provided enough offense. It was really a terrific 1-2 punch, and we've just not seen it click that effect. Now, that being said, they're a top-10 defense still, but they haven't gotten quite, and no one allows fewer points per game than the Magic, but it just hasn't quite been the same, and I think they got to get back to that, get back to their defensive rebounding, their perimeter defense. Guards are getting in the middle, penetrating this team, and that didn't happen last year, so they... I think you get DJ back, hopefully back on Friday, and you start picking up your defense these final 27 games. But no, it hasn't clicked, and I still think we got to wait to see what do they want their mindset to be these final 27, and hopefully it is on the defensive end.
Markel Fultz, did he kind of hit a wall there? Where, because he's never played a full 82 games. I mean, what is your take on Markell right now?
You know, it's funny. I thought he hit a wall about a month ago, where he was kind of, it was kind of, the numbers were kind of down, and it looked like he was not going through the motions, but it looked like he was just kind of what you see, that rookie wall where you're kind of running through mud. And then he put up a triple-double the next game against the Lakers. So I thought, okay, well, I guess he found it. I guess he found it again. And then he was great on that West Coast trip. And then, you know, the last handful of games here, he's been right at his average. So I keep waiting for it, expecting, you know, him to kind of hit a wall, and it hasn't happened yet. I think what he needs to be, though, Mark, is more aggressive. I think there are times he can get to the basket so easily that I think he needs to do it more often. I think he defers. I think he, you know, Evan Fournier, the guy that's got to have the ball in his hands a lot. I think Aaron Gordon at times will to be effective, will have the ball in his hands. When Terrence Ross is on the floor, you got to feed it to him to get him some shots. So I think he's, a lot of it is he's still trying to find where are the opportunities to get his. But I think the last couple minutes of that Pistons game, and even the Hawks game, where he made some big baskets down the stretch and put the team on his back, I think is a good sign. And I think he's kind of, I think these last 27 games, you're going to see him be a lot more aggressive. I think there's, you know, maybe pacing yourself, maybe feeling things out, you know, maybe not being as assertive as he could be, and all for the right reasons. But I think you're going to see him be much more aggressive here down the stretch.
You know what's crazy? Like the what if, Dante? He should be on the 76ers helping them right now, and they gave up on him. I think you look at, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but this front office so far has been here for about 3 years or so. I think stealing Markelle Fultz is the best move they've made so far as a front office, because it's a steal how they got him from the 76ers.
Oh, it's incredible. And it was a no-brainer, really. I mean, when you have a guy with that amount of talent, and, you know, just after 2 years, a team is willing to move him or looking to move him. I just think, you know, that's the problem I have with analytics today, Mark, is they look at it and say, okay, Ben Simmons is never going to be a three-point shooter, so we can't have two guys that aren't three-point shooters on this team with Joel Embiid. We got to have people that spread the floor so Joel can go to work and guys can shoot and got shooters. We got to, and you know, to an extent, I can certainly see the logic in some of that, but he's the first overall pick in the draft for a reason. I mean, this guy is incredibly talented, and that you're right. I certainly give Jeff and John all the credit in the world for recognizing that, hey, let's get a guy that, you know, maybe needs a change of scenery, maybe needs to get healthy, and we'll give him the resources to do that, the time he needs to kind of disconnect and then attack training camp. I mean, he's missed one game this year, knock on wood.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that he's gone through, he wants to be on the floor, and the guy wants to play, and he's a very good player. I think he's only going to get better. As good as he's been this year, I think you get very excited if you're a Magic fan, thinking about what he looks like 2-3 years from now. And Jonathan, you got to give him a lot of credit for Jonathan Isaac as well. I think those two things with Isaac and Markelle Fultz have certainly nailed both of those, and that's going to be the core of this team moving forward.
One of the big questions Magic fans ask me, so I'll ask you this. What about Mo Bamba? We got to get him on the court, buddy. I mean, he was right there in the same draft with Luka and Trae Young. I got to see him on the court and see what he can do. I mean, this is what, year three now? Like, I got to see it.
Well, it's year two. No,
you're
year
right.
Two for Mo Bamba. And last year, he only played 43 games because of the injury. So he's kind of not the same as Markell, but he just finished his first full NBA season about a month ago. So he's kind of going through that as well. And it takes longer for big men to kind of learn. You know, the Magic are trying to make the playoffs. They're trying to get in, and guys are going to play that earn the minutes and can hold their own defensively and can be in the right spots and make the right plays offensively. And as he continues to learn where he's supposed to be defensively and, you know, if he has those games where he's knocking down his three or he's getting offensive putbacks or blocking shots, or has those big games, he's going to earn more minutes. But right now, you know, you're trying to develop him, but you're also trying to win to make sure this team gets in the playoffs. So it's a delicate balance. But I would expect going into next summer, next training camp, coming into next year, I think he's going to look completely different. I not to say that he won't maybe in the next 2 months by the time this year is over, because he shows flashes, Mark. You're exactly
yes.
right, where he's incredibly active, he's blocking shots, and, you know, but then there's kind of some defensive lapses that he should know by now. So he's still trying to navigate, work his way through all that. But he's a great shooter. He's got a nice offensive game. But I think what keeps him on the floor more is being very aggressive and being a rim protector defensively. So I think this time next year he's going to be completely different.
Are you going to be completely different in 1 year with your game?
I hope so. Mark, we have to evolve in this industry. We have to keep learning. We have to keep getting better. And I plateaued probably about 12 years ago. But nobody knows. Nobody seems to know. So I just keep showing up. I just keep showing up and doing the best I can.
If Coach Clifford's like, hey, Dante, get in. I need 2 minutes. Can you do it? Come on.
Sure. Absolutely. I give you 2 minutes. We all play these scenarios in our head, right? Now, I could anybody can play 2 minutes. I would give up 74 points.
Oh, okay.
2 minutes.
Oh, Mark.
No way. I would have no chance of slowing my guy down. And if you're taking an NBA three-pointer, that's a long shot.
It is. I could see it where it's like Brad Stevens. He's like, hey, Marcatelli's in. Go to the rim on every play. That's what it is.
Exactly. Let's post him up.
Post him up.
Look, there's some guys that are out of the league right now. I mean, like, how is Ryan Anderson not on an NBA team? Blows my mind. In this day and age of shooting and three-point shooting and all that. So you look at the guys that are out of the league, it's unbelievable how much the game has changed. But I'd like to think I could sit out there and make at least one three, but I'm not sure.
You could do that, huh? All right. I want to see you hit a free throw. That's what I want to see.
That would be a giant liability, an enormous liability for Steve Clifford.
But you'll score.
Even in a practice where I just had to be the dummy bouncing the basketball to the shooter for drills, I don't think I could pull that off, to be honest with you.
Do you tell this to your family, that you think of yourself so highly?
Do you?
No. I let them think that I'm out there, I'm playing, I'm practicing with them.
Oh.
Like in college, I was the guy that got to hold that big red blocker pad.
Let the bigs
just smash into you while they work on their post game. That's all I was qualified to do there.
But what's cool is you've been around the NBA for like 20 years now. You're living the dream. You know, come on, man.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what? But just very quickly, you realize your role, right? Everybody has a role, and mine is to talk about the team and then react to it after the game and host a daily radio show. That's my lane. Let the bus drivers drive the bus. Let the players play. And I talk about it. You're right. That's my role.
You know what I think about you is, like, you'll do a good job after the game. You do the post game on court interview with the Magic, and they need a second. Then they talk to you. Hey, we won the game, or hey, we lost the game. I couldn't imagine you doing those XFL in game interviews. Like, there's no way that would work in the NBA. Like, no way where they would let a player talk in the middle of the third quarter. There's no way.
No, there's no way. It's hard enough after the end of the first half. You know, you're talking to a guy that, you know, the game, the half just ended, and sometimes 10 seconds later, someone's got to formulate their thoughts on what happened in the first half and what the adjustments are going to be needed for the second half. So, but I love it. I mean, it's a great challenge. It's you know, hopefully people watching are just trying to gain something, trying to learn something, and maybe get a little insight into the player's personality first, which I think is key, and then learn something about the game. But I don't know, I'd love the challenge. We put microphones on players during games to try to learn some insight. But, yeah, I would love to get to a point where we interviewed a guy during a third quarter. Don't think it'll happen, but I'd love the challenge.
Let's end with this. I know second half's going to start Friday. I'm going to the game. I can't wait because it's going to be Luka and the Mavericks. This is going to be a great matchup for the Magic. Are they also celebrating a former Magic player on Friday?
Yes, they are. Daryl Armstrong, the captain of that Heart and Hustle team from 99-2000, is going into the Magic Hall of Fame. So that for those that don't know Daryl Armstrong, that is as quality an individual as you will ever find in the NBA. I mean, he's just a fantastic human being, a guy that played in every single league outside of the NBA, the GBA, the CBA, the USBL, before he finally got his break in the NBA. He was playing over in Cyprus when former Magic great John Gabriel, general manager at the time, found him. He played in Syria. I mean, he's played all over in different leagues all over the country. All over the world. And, you know, was working in, and then thought, okay, maybe it's not going to work for me. He was working in a yarn mill. He was dyeing the yarn in a yarn mill in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Wow.
North Carolina, wherever he was. And they found him, gave him an opportunity. He came to the NBA and never looked back 17 years later. Just an incredible story of perseverance and what it takes to make it to the NBA. And he gave it. Anyone listening that knows Darryl Armstrong knows that, you know, he worked for every dollar that was paid to watch that guy play. You got your money's worth watching him. And that's what he wanted to do, diving in the stands for loose balls. And so he epitomizes everything that's great about professional sports and about the NBA, and very deserving of going into the Magic Hall of Fame.
Why don't you say this on the microphone Friday? That was fantastic. Come on.
Come on, Mark. That's the plan. This is my warm-up. I appreciate you letting me get started.
Yeah.
That's my warm-up, but he does. He epitomizes everything. And what's great is, you know, for football fans, he was a place kicker. Yeah, for his college. He was a straight-on, you know, the place kickers go to the side, three steps.
Yeah.
He was a straight-on George Blanda place kicker for his football team.
And wow.
He didn't wear cleats. He wore sneakers.
Oh, my God.
it's unbelievable. Like, nowadays, that would be all over the place. But, you know, back in the, you know, early to mid-90s, you know,
wow.
No one heard about that. And Fayetteville State was such a small school. But it's an incredible story. Really an incredible story. Just a terrific individual. And we're looking forward to it on Friday. We're going to have a lot of fun with Darryl Armstrong.
That is really cool. Magic are going to be taking on the Mavericks at home. Check it out. And this guy does a great job. His name is Dante Marcatelli. My man, thanks for your help, and good luck on the second half, all right?
Okay, you got it, Mark. Anytime. Always good to talk to you. We'll catch up with you here soon.